News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right. So time right now, 2:23 PM, it is April the 8th, a Friday, and I swear it's April the 8th, but it feels more like February the 8th. I do not understand. I guess for those of us who can hearken back this far, here in the area, how many of y'all remember the blizzard of 93? It happened in mid-March, so I guess these things happen. Copper, where were you living in 93? You were up north somewhere, right? Up in Virginia?
Yeah, I was in Virginia, outside D.C.
Virginia. So, do you, were you born in 93?
Oh, no, 93. I thought you said 19. No, I was not born yet.
Okay. All right, well... Okay, anyway, nonetheless, there was a massive blizzard. And, you know, you hear about blizzards, you know, out west or whatever, up in Colorado. No, I'm talking blizzard here, like feet of snow. Ooh. Shut down the northern half of the state. It was, and it came across the southeast, but North Alabama was like buried for like 2 weeks. It was just pretty epic. Anyway, why am I talking about this? I don't know. I guess because it's cold outside and it makes no sense to me that it's cold outside right now. But, you're not even entertaining me right now, Copper. You're just like letting me ramble. This is...
sounds terrible, but I lived in Chicago for a couple of years, so it doesn't actually sound that bad to me.
Oh, you're saying, suck it up, Southerners. Quit buying all the milk and bread every time there's a snow flurry and turning out the school kids and all that kind of stuff.
Nah,
I see what you're doing.
Nah, I moved south because I didn't want to deal with that anymore. I like the nice warm weather.
Well, it's typically pretty warm. And actually, you know what? It is pretty nice. Although I thought it was kind of funny they let kids out of school the other day. And it really didn't even hardly do anything. It was kind of weird. Hey, listen, folks, let me jump over and tell you a couple other things, too. If you are finding yourself driving outside of the overly broad range, I like to say, of our AM-FM capabilities right here at WVNN, which would pretty much mean you'd have to be like out of North Alabama, South Tennessee, then the way that a lot of folks track this show is they go to our website, rightsideradio.org, click on Listen Live, and no matter where you is, there we is what I always like to say. So, yeah, this show has got people that follow it daily, all kinds of places, out of state and otherwise. We've also apparently, though, just about got 40,000 followers on our podcast, and man, that is... I predict we'll be at 40,000 by late next week. That's what I'm looking at. But 40,000 people, and like I keep saying on the air, it's kind of funny to me that a large chunk of those are from California. We got people from Canada. We got people in various other states. I think Birdman told me the only state that didn't have anybody listening to our podcast was Rhode Island, which is funny. But then again, there's like 10 people that live in Rhode Island. So what do you do? But yeah, that's very cool. All that's on our website, rightsideradio.org, and you can track it then. Also, I will tell you that on that website, if you want to order a Right Side coffee mug, if you want a Right Side t-shirt, if you want a Right Side pair of socks, because we got them, Right Side socks, I'm just saying, they're all on the website, rightsideradio.org. Go check it out. What else have I got here before I get on to the next break? Yeah, a lot of things that are happening in the news, some of which is breaking news. Just so you know, Will Smith is just, I mean, right now the breaking news is coming out that Will Smith, because he slapped, Chris Rock at the Oscars, he will not be permitted to attend the Oscars for at least 10 years. He's been banned, basically, blacklisted. That may sound like a nothing burger, but then again, this is their industry. This is like a lawyer being told that he can't go to the bar association meetings or whatever else, I guess, or who knows. But anyway, is it tough enough? Is there more to it? I don't know. I'm just seeing that breaking across the wires right now. The other thing that just happened, just in the last hour, the new Supreme Court justice was confirmed, and she was now sworn in, and they celebrated her on the lawn of the White House. Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson will now be Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson. And so that is happening. Another breaking story of a far different kind, very sobering. The war in Ukraine, which I still believe is one of the biggest stories of our entire decade. But the war in Ukraine, the atrocities just continue. And by the way, keep in mind the era in which we live. Yes, there is collateral damage at war. But this is the era of precision munitions. This is the era when you can choose your targets. This is the era when you can call for fire on a grid, and without even having precision-guided munitions, you can drop the rounds and bracket the target and get them rounds on target without even seeing it, just by calling in the right coordinates. Well, Russia attacked a civilian train station that was filled with civilians who were trying to get out. They were trying to evacuate the war zone, and they don't have any way out. It's not, everybody doesn't own a car in Ukraine. So they were trying to get out by means of this train station. It was packed full of people. Russia attacked the train station, and right now over 39 civilians dead, more than 100 are hurt. And that is considered to be nothing but a cheap, you know, war on humanity at that point. That's not trying to degrade your enemy's military capabilities. That's a war on the people itself. Other story out of Ukraine, though, interesting here. I just saw this one. It broke in the last couple hours. Apparently, Slovakia has donated its air defense systems to Ukraine to save lives, it says, from the aggression of the Putin regime. So these are Soviet-era S-300 air defense systems. They're probably going to be slightly outdated, but they're still S-300s, which is a very solid air defense system. And so Slovakia is saying, you know what? You can have them. We're going to give you these. And they are. So that's a new story breaking right now. All that and more going to be on today's show. Coming up next, though, I'm going to be talking about the same thing I had in my monologue. Kids are worth fighting for. Well, I got a number of stories that are going to curl your hair. Stand by, Right Side Ruffians. Stand by. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right, saving the world, one soundbite at a time, I like to say. So yeah, number one on the Triple Dipper, kids are worth fighting for, and I know I'm preaching to the choir on this one, I know you know that, but I think sometimes it's good to be reminded of what the fight is, I mean, to point us in the right direction. You know, it's like just recognizing where to swing the punches. Well, first of all, let me just point out that this is ongoing. This has been happening for a while, but I feel like it's really ramped up. It's almost like there's an air of desperation if you get down to it. When you watch the level to which liberals right now are willing to go after our kids, it's as if they're scratching and clawing, as if they realize, I don't know, maybe they realize the midterms are coming, and that Biden's doing such a horrible job that this is their only chance. I don't know. Do they think we're just going to roll over and take it? But the truth of the matter is this. They're the aggressor in this, and that's actually the subject title of an article I've got here from Ben Shapiro, dated yesterday. He points out, you know, you've probably seen it, just last week, Disney World, I'm sorry, some of their top employees were caught on a video, and it was supposed to be an internal video. You know, the kind they don't say out loud, but they said it out loud, and the video came out, saying that they're just vowing to inject their radical LGBTQ agendas into children's programming. Disney producer LaToya Raveno told an all-hands meeting that she was leading by Zoom or something. She said that her team works to push what she called her not-at-all-secret gay agenda in the programming aimed at kids and sought to add what she called queerness to such content. I mean, to what end? She was laughingly talking about how she's so excited. She was like giddy. That she's like, they don't even know I'm getting it all in there. It's going to be great. And then Disney Diversity and Inclusion Manager, there's a title for you. The Disney Diversity and Inclusion Manager, Vivian Ware, stated that Disney's beloved theme parks would be eliminating any mention of ladies and gentlemen or boys and girls. So when they say ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, that's done. They can't do it. Dreamers of all ages is what they're talking about now, because they don't want to exclude somebody. Well, I got news. If you're not a lady or a gentleman, then you're usually identifying as the opposite, which still makes you, in your mind at least, a lady or a gentleman. So I guess what they're worried about are the ones who, what do they call them, non-binary, that don't identify as anything. Well, anyway, they got caught with their hand in the cookie jar, Ben Shapiro points out, and he says they've immediately swiveled and now begun accusing the right of initiating this culture war. They're the aggressors, folks, not us. In fact, if anything, I think we've been too passive too long. And so, you know, you've even got things like right now, the New York Times, Michelle Goldberg from the New York Times came out and lamented that she felt so bad for that Disney producer, LaToya Revenue. She felt terrible for her, who, after all, was just, you know, stepping up to defend the company's queer friendliness. This is a quote, by the way, only to become the national object of right-wing fury and disgust. How about this? Did you miss the fact that she's trying to take socially divisive, cultural, controversial topics, and she says, and inject them into children's programming? It's going to be great. They're the aggressors in this. Well, you know, let me just point out too, the media is so complicit. I just mentioned there that was CNN sort of chiming in, New York Times chiming in. I just saw a little while ago, I didn't even copy the article down, but CNN's Brian Stelter. Does anybody else feel like Brian Stelter looks like, you know, one of the characters from Seinfeld? But anyway, so CNN's Brian Stelter was doing the exact same thing. Oh, the culture war is beginning. The right-wing extremists are targeting, you know, the LGBTQ community. No, we're not. No, we're not. We're taking issue with the fact that they're targeting our kids. That's what we're taking issue with. In fact, you're seeing very little right now in terms of a fuss about what happens in the adult arena. Do we get tired of it? Yes. Those of us who have a true, you know, like a conservative or a Christian mindset, we get tired of the constant thrust in our face agenda. You know, every TV show, every movie has to have the right number of LGBTQ moments. You know, they come out and they want to change things, like, you know, Marvel Comics apparently has a Captain America coming out kind of comic, which I just, why? Go make your own character. You have to change the ones that have been there since the 40s? Anyway, all that to say, no, we're not really screaming about what happens in the adult arena. What we're aggravated about is the very idea that our kids are the target. Because these are not topics that you have the authority to talk about with our minor children. These are not topics that we've chosen to raise them with. If you want to raise your kid that way at home, that is yours to do at home. We did not come into your home and say, do not talk about this. We said, don't do it with our kids in the classroom. We did not say, don't go and, you know, tell little Johnny that his real name is little Susie and he's allowed to, you know, do things at home that make him feel like a little girl, but just don't tell him he can come to school and go to the other locker room where our kids feel like their privacy has been invaded. No, we're not going down those roads. I couldn't help but notice, by the way, in all the debate, yesterday in Montgomery, because there was a lot of this was the central focus of Montgomery's legislative processes yesterday. It was an epic day in the culture wars yesterday in Montgomery. The first thing that happened, you remember, if you were listening to the show yesterday, I had State Senator Shea Shelnut, a friend of mine who's a very conservative individual in the Alabama State Senate, and Senator Shelnut came on. He was the sponsor of the bill that prevents doctors in Alabama from providing hormone blockers and surgeries and other, you know, puberty blockers that helps, you know, young children be transitioned to the non-biological sex. Transgender therapies. Let's phrase it that way. He was the author or the sponsor of that bill. Worked on it for 3 years. It got passed yesterday. There was also a bill that came up that prevents the ability of transgenders to use the bathroom that does not equate to their biological sex in public facilities like locker rooms and school bathrooms and that kind of thing. Well, he had an amendment he added onto that that also said, oh, by the way, you're also not going to teach gender fluidity and transitions to K-5. And it passed. He got both of them passed. Senator Shelnut got both of those passed yesterday. I mean, he had the votes of his other members, but he was the architect of both of those. Good on him. As soon as he did that, the Montgomery Advertiser Brian Lyman, who is one of the chief political reporters, or probably the chief political reporter, maybe he's the only political reporter for the Montgomery Advertiser, began typing, well, we now have the Don't Say Gay bill. He went straight, you can tell where the media is on this. He went straight to the same mantra that the liberal media had been trying to misconstrue the Florida legislation that Shelnut's amendment was based on. And he went straight to it and says, oh, well, we have the Don't Say Gay bill in Alabama. And Brian Lyman is calling it the Don't Say Gay bill. Kyle Whitmire, the uber liberal hack that works at AL.com, wrote a piece this morning about how this was the downfall of LGBTQ rights in Alabama. No one is saying that you're not allowed to have a gay lifestyle in Alabama. No one is saying that at all. No one is even saying, by the way, that you don't have a right to live your life the way you want to, or to teach your kids what you feel like you want to teach them at home. All these things are saying is stop taking them out on kids that you don't have the authority to do so. And oh, by the way, if you're a medical practitioner, I'll just say this. If you're a medical practitioner and you are willing to take the word of a six-year-old that they want to be the opposite sex and start applying medical treatments to make it happen, shame on you. You know better. All right, so Daily Caller, article dated 2 days ago, says the Florida education bill reveals the left's true motivations towards America's kids. I won't go into the whole article. It talks about what I just said a moment ago about how the stir, you know, came up about, you know, the what the media wanted to call the Don't Say Gay bill, even though it didn't, those words didn't appear in the text of the bill anywhere. The bill just simply prohibited teachers from discussing sexuality and gender identity with children in kindergarten through third grade. Kindergarten to third grade. Why would that be a topic for the classroom? I was just looking at something a moment ago on social media. It was a teacher talking about how at their school, I think in San Jose, California, at their school, they have what they call the transition closet. Students can come, they can bring that extra set of clothes so they, when they leave the house wearing the parental approved clothes, that they can go to the transition closet and change clothes and come out wearing those that are more appropriate for their real person. The teacher says this. Well, the article here that I've got from Daily Caller says this. The fanatical activists who have infested our public school system will certainly find loopholes in the Florida bill and take full advantage of them. They don't see the classroom as a space to foster a love of learning or a civic virtue in their students. They see it as a chance to indoctrinate children in the same woke ideology that they were force-fed when they were in college. It's a chance to manufacture pint-sized revolutionaries ready to smash the old ways with reckless abandon. And I agree with that. I think they are literally trying to raise up our kids in the way they believe they should go, leaving nothing for the parents there in terms of the opportunity to teach our kids what we believe is right. All right, listen, I'm going to finish up some more of this and come back to what happened in Alabama yesterday. Let's go ahead and take a break right now, Copper. When I get back from this, you may want to hear about bills that were still working their way through the legislative process even as late as 9 or 10 o'clock last night. Yeah. And caller, tell our caller if he wants to hold on through the break that we'll grab him as soon as we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. We're doing number one of the Triple Dipper right now. Kids are worth fighting for. And before I go to the phones, I got to tell you, I just got a text from one of our listeners, Morgan, over in Gadsden. She texted, just for the record, my six-year-old wants to be a cat. So I'm wondering, should I pick it outside the school board for a litter box in every classroom? Also, will she get a doctor to assist her transition, or will she get a vet? Okay. Thank you, Morgan. Appreciate that. That was hilarious. Got a caller on line one to held on during the break. Let me grab that real quick. Gary from Huntsville. Hey, Gary, Phil Williams on Right Side. How are you, sir?
Hey, Phil. You're doing a great job. Look, here's my thought. If a six-year-old went to his mom and said, Mom, I feel like I should have been a child with just one arm, so let's go cut one of my arms off. The mom would think he's gone crazy, and of course no doctor in the world would do it.
Right. That's a great point. It's yes. And truthfully, are you going to make these kind of life-altering decisions that, who knows? I mean, we know that mental health gets tougher for kids who go through these things. Studies are showing it. But at the same time, right, are you going to make a life-altering decision that when they turn 19, they might look back at their parent and go, why did you ever approve this?
Here's what would be interesting is if they tracked and followed these kids who actually had this happen to see how they turned out 20 or 30 years from now.
Yeah. And I think, I'm not sure, but I think Tucker Carlson may have a special coming up on that very thing. I saw a tweet from him recently with a young lady who's written a book about her coming out of that and that, you know, she had gone through the transitions early on, how it disrupted her physically, but that she has come out of it for the most part, but it's years of recovery if you get down to it. Gary, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate you.
I'd like to see a broader spectrum, more than just one. But, yes, I agree. I hear you.
Okay. Yeah. Gary, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate you holding on during the break. Listen, you know, several things happened in Montgomery yesterday, and I've talked about them to a great degree, but I got to point out a couple of others. I mean, first of all, there was a bill. Get this. Some of y'all have probably already become familiar with what they call SEL counseling, social emotional learning counseling. And there's great reason to believe that SEL is oftentimes a means of introducing the liberal diversity equity agenda. You know, not that we don't like inclusiveness, treating other people the way you would want to be treated. That's different than, and oh, by the way, you need to use the pronouns that little Johnny wants to use now. But don't tell his parents. That's the concern. Well, they did have a bill yesterday that it appeared to be moving towards allowing SEL mental health counseling throughout the schools in the state of Alabama, sponsored by Nathaniel Ledbetter, Representative Nathaniel Ledbetter from up here in North Alabama in the northeast section. I believe he's in Jackson or DeKalb counties. And Representative Ledbetter apparently took issue with the fact that Senator Sam Gavan, a very conservative individual from this listening area in the Huntsville area, Senator Gavan dropped an amendment on that that said, okay, but you cannot do this unless the parents have opted into the mental health counseling, and you cannot keep the records from the parents, and you cannot allow the counseling to take place on topics that the parents haven't approved. Why is that difficult? Well, apparently Republican, and potentially, by the way, he's one of the lead candidates to be the next Speaker of the House. But apparently, Representative Ledbetter took issue with that amendment, and he fought it, and they went to conference, and they were able to get it amended in Ledbetter's favor to some degree. The amendment stayed on, but they watered it down some. Basically, kids under the age of 14 years old still have to have full parental input on the mental health counseling, but kids over the age of 14 can ask for the counseling and go through it without parental consent and without parental input and without parents having access to the records. I need to follow up and make sure exactly how that came together, but apparently it was a fight in conference, and I appreciate State Senator Sam Gavan working to do what he could to make a bad bill at least more palatable, if you will. Other things that happened, they're all going to the governor now. Other things that happened, like the ban on transgender therapies, it's gone to the governor. The ban on the use of transgender bathrooms, the ban on teaching on K through 5 is the way we've got it, K through 3 in Florida, K-5 here, the ban on teaching issues of gender identity and sexuality in the K through 5 arena. And this mental health counseling with the amendment that Senator Gavan put on and had to fight for. All of that went to the governor last night. And, you know, if you heard Senator Shelnut on my show yesterday, I asked him, I said, you think she's going to sign it? He said, I think it would be in her best interest. Meaning, it's an election year, and she'd better. You know, you haven't seen or heard anything out of Governor Ivey leading the charge on any of this. When you see it in Florida, you see the governor standing up and asking for it. You see the governor standing up and calling for more. You see the governor leading the way. He's not in the legislative branch, but he's working with legislative leaders, asking them to do certain things, setting the tone for the state as a leader. You're not seeing that right now. You're not seeing that right now. Well, nonetheless, it's all going to her for signature now. And we'll see if she signs it. And I agree with Senator Shelnut. It would be in her best interest. All right, folks, coming up next, one of my favorite moments, Copper and the Birdman. We're going to have some time together on the air, talk about the issues, see what my millennial mavens have to say. We'll be right back.